Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me this evening my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G., you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line, and we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G., it's another Thursday, and we thank God for being in the land of the living, and thank God that He's continued to watch over our families. We know that many of us have had friends and associates and people we know who've gone through sicknesses and some who passed off the scene. So we thank God for allowing us to get together one more time to be able to study His word and to be able to apply it to our lives and share it with others, that people might be encouraged during this time of global pandemic by the word of God. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's, we just got to continue to pray for each other. We do have a praise report that Tamika, a member of our church that had the virus, she's no longer in ICU, and she's on less oxygen, so she's on the way to recovery. So we give God the honor and the praise for that. And in the midst of that, even when she was in ICU, she would still dial into service and listen, as well as the prayer line and listen. And we would just send her texts, songs, and she said all of that encouraged her to just put her faith and trust in the Lord, because it got really testy there. She was in ICU for a minute. God just turned it around.
Amen. And Dr. G, this is what we've been studying through the Bible study, is how that we have to learn how to rely on God when you get in a situation where your back's up against the wall. We talked about no test, no testimony last week, but you get to a place where you're being tested, And the only one that can bring you through is God. And that is a comfort in knowing that he's the one that's going to bring you through. But we got to get that relationship, like you always talk about, that relationship with God, that no matter what you're going through, that he's there with you, that he cares about you, and that he'll bring you through. Dr. G.
Amen. You're right. That's the only thing, especially now, with all this craziness going on, and having that personal one-on-one relationship with the Lord is a necessity, something that you really can't do without.
Amen. And I find that in the Word of God, through His Holy Spirit, like we're looking at Saul, who after his conversion began to start calling him Paul. He has the Holy Spirit in his life after Ananias laid his hands on him, and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. And this is the Spirit that Jesus promised that once he ascended back to the Father, that he would not leave us comfortless, but he would send us another Comforter. And we thank God for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And on the last, I was talking about how Moses, when he was leading the children of Israel in the Old Testament, how he received grumbling. the children of Israel, they grumbled, and God allowed serpents to bite them.
Mm-hmm.
And after they received those poisonous bitings, they had to change the tune. And they asked Moses to pray to God that he would deliver them from the serpent being by them. And so God told them to form a brass serpent and put it on a pole and to raise it up. And if they would look up, they would be saved. But the thing was that they had to trust God enough to be able to look up. And Jesus, a very, very familiar scripture in John 3:16, where he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth him would not perish but have everlasting life. But the verses before that, Jesus said that just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that he too would have to be lifted up. And he used that example of Moses lifting up lifting and them being saved by the lifted up serpent, as Jesus would be the one that would be lifted up and that will be saved. And so as we go through these trying times or these tests in our lives, all we have to do is look up to the salvation, to the Comforter, to what God has given us to be able to comfort us in these times. And that's His Word and it's His Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't take the time out to get into the Word, to get into the church, to get into the Bible, to start having that special time and relationship with the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
what happens is you'll suffer longer unnecessarily in turmoil and stress, anxiety, people going through depression, people worry, people have all kinds of illnesses because they're not comforted. That he's not their wonderful counselor. He's not their mighty God. He's not the Prince of Peace. He's not the one that is able to keep them. And it's vitally important because people are starting to really suffer during this time of pandemic without a relationship with God.
That is so key about the relationship with God. The last part that you just said, I've actually been studying the last week or two. I've always, you know, it's always been one of my favorite, but I've been studying the whole armor of God, and it really came to me probably about a month ago when the whole pandemic started coming, and you know they were talking about this invisible enemy. And I thought about, you know, well, if you read the Word, it talks about we don't fight
mm-hmm.
against blood anyway, but it's the spiritual
right.
demons and the
wickedness,
the wickedness mm-hmm. of this world. And he really points that out in Ephesians 6, where even before he talks about the armor of God, he's saying that after all that you've done, you can't just stand. And this is the opportunity where he's telling, if you have that relationship with him, you can
mm-hmm.
stand. But you
mm-hmm.
also got to have all that armor that he gives you, whether it's the belt of truth, which where you hook the sword to, you know, and when you really study it, it's like it's all about God equips us to deal with anything, but it's up to us to suit up, put on what he's given us, have the sword of the Spirit, have the helmet of salvation, have everything
mm-hmm.
that he's given us, and you can't have that without a relationship with him, because the things that we have to fight is not flesh and blood. It is evilness, and you got to have your the feet with the peace, you know, and you look at it and you really look at that scripture, and God gives us everything that we need to deal with, no matter how strange or how awful it is. But we got to pick
mm-hmm.
up the armor. It's there. If we don't pick it up and put it on, you know, our dad went to Vietnam and he came twice and came back. But you know, when he went into that
mm-hmm.
war, he was equipped with what he needed to be equipped with to deal with whatever.
Right. Amen, amen, and that's powerful. That we are equipped, but we just have to have faith that God has given us His best. He's given us His best. He's given us His whole Holy Spirit. He's given us His armor.
Right.
And in that Ephesians 6, what we fight with is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Word of God. Mm-hmm.
And so. When we have that armor on and we have that sword of the Spirit and we have that Holy Spirit, that is the game changer. So
mm-hmm.
so when Ananias laid hands on Saul, what happened was he received the Holy Spirit, and that became the game changer. If we go back to the ninth chapter, and read from the NIV, verse 17. It says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately something," this is verse 18, "immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." And this is what gives us the strength. And Paul, who was Saul back here, wrote in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ and gives me the strength.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he understands that on his own, he got his butt kicked.
That's right.
When Jesus says it's tough for you to kick against the pricks,
yep.
he said, why are you persecuting me?
Mm-hmm.
He got his butt kicked, and he said,
yep.
he said, I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength, because I've seen my shortcoming,
mm-hmm.
but I've also seen the power of God.
Right.
And once you've seen the power of God, you get to a point, like you said, Sheila, you'll be able to stand. And after
mm-hmm.
you've done all the stand, you stand some more, and you understand that the only one that's going to bring me through this
right.
is God. The only one that's going to comfort me in the midnight hour
exactly.
is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The only one that's going to wipe away my tears
yep.
and hold my hand.
Yep.
The only one that's going to be there when everybody else don't understand is the
that's
Holy
right.
Spirit. And so Paul, in this encounter, he says, I know who he is. He's
mm-hmm.
the one that dropped the scales from my eyes. He's
right.
the one that gave me the strength. And so now he's ready to go, and he's ready to preach the gospel. And that's where we left off on last week. In verse 20, it says, this is Acts 9, verse 20. He says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Now, you have to understand, he was the one that persecuted the church.
Right.
And everybody, they say you got to keep your one good eye on them. You got to keep your
uh-huh.
good eye out. You got to watch him. So they
right.
were trying to see if he was for real, as they used to say, to see if he was, you know, who it is. And a lot of times, you know, we have to watch as well as pray.
right.
make sure that it's not someone perpetrating a fraud. And I believe all
right.
of us have been in ministry long enough, Dr. G, where we've seen people perpetrating a fraud. They say one thing and do something else. And you got to keep that good eye on it. You got to watch as well as pray to make sure that this is someone that is converted. This is someone that is doing the things of God, because I believe everybody in ministry at one time has been burned by somebody that perpetrated the fraud, saying they were converted, they were saved, and they faked the funk for a little while, and then they ended up hurting the church and hurting the ministry. Dr. G.
You're right, and, you know, that it's funny you say that, because we do have to watch and pray, and you would think that when folks say that they love the Lord, they're following this, that, and the other, that you would be able to put your guard down, but it's just not the case. We live in the midst of some, I think you hit on it last week, some stiff neck, I call them
mm-hmm.
hard-headed Christians, folk who won't believe stuff stinks until the Lord puts them through. And see, and Saul had to go through that. But now
mm-hmm.
he turned himself around, because, as you said, he done got his butt whipped. Now he understands. But we live in the midst of a people. I don't understand it. I mean, here we've got a pandemic, and folk want to reopen stuff because they're bored. You know, they want to go back to work. I get all that. But there's a purpose why they had to close this stuff down. People are still dying. The U.S. has more cases than any other country. And all of that stuff ought to be playing in our minds. But we live amongst a hard-headed people. And, I mean, growing
yep.
up, it didn't take much. I got some butt whoopings. And after a couple of them, you did not want to go
mm-hmm.
back that route again. And that's the way it ought to be for us Christians. You know, Lord, whip your butt a couple of times. That ought to be enough to wake you up and put you on the straight and narrow. But, yes, we do have to watch and pray, because people are something else.
Amen.
Amen. And like we were talking about, there's snake hard-headed, and
mm.
they were getting bit by snakes, and Moses lifted up the pole with the brass snake on it. And a lot of the ambulances have that symbol on it, and I think the world uses it for like a one of those Greek gods now. They don't reference the reference of the Old Testament Moses back in Numbers, where he lifted it up, and the people were healed.
Mm-hmm.
But God is giving us an opportunity to slow down.
Mm.
And see things in slow motion.
Right.
This pandemic has put the brakes on this world.
Yep.
We were going 100 miles. I think we talked about this a couple of Thursdays. We were going 100 miles an hour and leaving God on the sideline. Mm.
That's right.
God has slowed this thing down. I know when we were growing up, Sheila, we used to get the little vinyl records. We used to get the 45 and
yeah.
then if somebody came out with an album, we would get the 33. But if you
mm-hmm.
played the 45
right.
on the wrong speed,
uh-huh.
it was slow.
Yeah.
And if you and it slowed down, you have to slow it down, because God is doing something and he's slowing it down, and he's letting us see
mm-hmm.
that we've been bit by that serpent of sin. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he was saying, you know, just like Moses lifted up. Let me go to that verse. Let me go to let me reference that in John, the Gospel of John. And let me turn to that. The third chapter. And everybody knows John 3:16, but if you go back to verse 13, it says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And in verse 4, Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up a snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And so of all the references that he was talking to Nicodemus, all the references that Jesus could have made to his resurrection, his crucifixion for the sins of the world, he made this one to Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. And so let me track back to that verse in Numbers 21 verses 44 through 1, and I'll read it. This I'll read from the King James. He says, "And they journeyed from," this is Numbers 21 verses 4 through 9, "and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." In other words, it was tough. We talked about testing. They had been delivered from Egypt and bondage, but it was tough. It was tough. And they were getting discouraged because it was tough. And so what happened, instead of them being appreciative of God delivered them after they were in bondage that long, they were discouraged because of the tough road. And Dr. G, you hit on this. It's like, you know, we need to understand and recognize that this thing is real and it's going to be a tough road, and we need to follow God. But here in verse 5, Numbers 21, verse 5, he says, "And the people spake against God."
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not me making this up, Sheila G. He said, "And the people spake against God and against Moses." And this is what they said. He said, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." In other words, they weren't thankful for God keeping them all this time.
Delivering them,
and God
slavery.
Keeping them this time. They were in slavery. They were in bondage.
Yep.
They were
and they saw miracles.
And they saw miracles.
Plagues.
Moses was there. He threw the rod down and gobbled up Pharaoh's snake.
Yep.
And you got a lot of snake oil going on out there today. And people are saying, if God loved us so much, why are we going through this pandemic? Why are we going through this? Why? And they complained against God. And God allows them to go through this because they didn't know God that delivered them. They didn't know the God of salvation. And so in verse 6, he says, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people." He said, "Lord, have mercy." God sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died.
Mm.
In other words, God's trying to get their attention. So now that he done slowed it down and they're taking inventory. Oh, crap. We done sinned against God. We done got bit by this thing of sin. And in today's world, we have been bitten by the serpent of sin.
That's right.
That we can't see how blessed we are to have a loving God that wants to love us and save us.
Yep.
And so in verse 7, he says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. And thee, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us.'" And Moses didn't get an attitude. Dr. G, remind me so much that you keep loving people in sight of people. I often look at you and say, you're just like a person that loves God so much that even though when folks treat you bad, you still pray for them. I'm going to leave that alone. We can talk about that all night. And Moses prayed for the people. And this is what happened in verse 8. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bit, when he looketh upon it," now this is all you have to do, "when he looketh upon it, shall what? Live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, he was obedient, and put it on a pole, did exactly what God said, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, in other words, if you've been bitten by that serpent, today's vernacular, if you've been bitten by that serpent of sin, bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, what did he do? He lived.
Mm.
This is salvation right here. Salvation. And so this is what Jesus used in John 3:15 to illustrate what would have to happen with him. He was explaining to Nicodemus, just like Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole in the wilderness, Jesus said he had to be lifted up just like that. And that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so he used this to let them know that things are going to get rough, things are going to get tough, but it gets rough and it gets tough so that people will come to receive the salvation that is being offered. But they're blinded. They have scales on their eyes. They can't see. And so God allows pain that goes along with suffering, that goes along with sin, that goes along with being disobedient to God to get the people to know that they need a Savior. And that's all God wants us to do. He's slowing things down in this pandemic to let people know you need a Savior.
Yep. And it's not man.
And during this time, the hand of grace is here. And all you got to do is look up. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And you shall be saved. Sheila Jean, I spoke too much. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sheila Jean.
Actually, Pastor G got, wanted to comment on
no,
that.
No, I mean, I agree with it because it's all true. And it's been going on since biblical days all the way to where we are right now. And with all of the stuff that's happening, you know, I tell folk, instead of complaining about being bored and this, that, and the other, take this time to reflect over your life just how good the Lord has been. And instead of complaining, turn that bad boy around and give God thanks.
Right.
Yeah, we know we are living in some rough times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, things are rough. Yes, people are out of work. But like you said, God has to slow it down in order to wake folk up. Now, some people are waking up, but you got a whole bunch of folks that are still just as hard-headed, and they will not obey God and do what they have to do. They got to stay home with the kids. They're too busy. They're this, they're that. How much more is it going to take for the Lord to have to wake folk up? I mean, that's my question.
Amen.
But it seems, Dr. G, it seems like we want to keep complaining. They complain about Moses. They complain about God. And it's like, oh, my gosh, really? And so, Sheila G, help me out.
No, I'm just saying, you're right. What do we have to complain about for the whole world?
Right.
The whole world to be shut down like this.
Not one country,
not one leader, not one. It's the whole world. For it to go across the whole, you know that song we used to say, he got the whole world in his hands?
Yeah.
He got the whole wide world in his hands. He is showing that. It is the whole world. And it's really fleshing out. He's giving everybody an opportunity to be thankful and have hope and trust in him. That opportunity. Say that, you know what, this is crazy. But if I trust in God, then I can have hope. I can have peace. That's where I'm going to get my strength from. But then it's also exposing Satan for what he is. It's exposing lies, you know, because Satan is a liar. And it's exposing these that for the love of money. Like, you want to risk people. You're hearing more and more people, whereas we always went to work. People had to go to work because they got to do this. We got to take this. But now you're seeing that people just want you to go to work because they want money. They want to get paid. They want the economy to grow. But they want you to go up in a place and kill yourself, risk your life, so they can have the almighty dollar. Where does that come from in the Bible? It talks about the love of money. Then you have
leaders
that are say, I can do this. I'm the one that's going to make this, and I'm going to make this happen, and I'm the one to do this, that, and the other. Well, what is that? The pride of life. So he's just showing more and giving us an opportunity to sit down, listen to this mess, and then, you know, say, okay, you know what? Man isn't as powerful, ain't as bad, you think the rich and famous had this, that, and the other. Nope. The rich and famous are just like the rest of us. The only high and mighty is God. And there is sin in this world. And the only thing that can conquer sin is that trust in the Lord, your faith in the Lord. Satan is for real. There are truly demonic spirits around this earth, around this world. And for anybody in the church to say that there's not, that's not true, because it's in the Bible. But God gives us a way out of temptation. He gives us a way for us to be more than conquerors. He talks about it. He's like, the evilness and the wickedness of this world is right here, but I'm going to give you the tools to deal with it. But we put too much trust in what man can do and all these things, where you could just sit, got to the point where we're so lazy, we're going to talk to a remote to turn the TV on instead of getting our butt up and turning it on manually. But, now we're having to go back to the old way of things. Now we're going to have to go back to making sure we wash our hands. Now we're going to have to go back to an office where you're not sitting on top of each other, but there's going to be divisions amongst the space amongst each other. You know, now it's like we're going to have to go back to making sure that we're clean. Now we're going back to making sure that we're taken care of in that food chain. If he's exposing the whole food chain, here you got food rotten where people are starving. And it's because nobody has really taken care of each other to say, you know what, we need to have something in place. I got a surplus. They've always had a surplus, but everybody's just holding to it instead of creating a channel so that we could feed the hungry. There's nobody around here that should be hungry, but, you know, we were doing the whole class thing. Well, okay, I got it, but I'm going to hoard it. God's like, you're not hoarding nothing. Y'all, you trying to do all this, that, and the other? He's just exposing all the Satan's weakness and giving us an opportunity to draw closer to him and realize that he is almighty, all-powerful, and if we put our trust in him, we can be just as powerful and have that authority over all the evilness of this world.
Amen. Amen. And it's time. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Dr. C. Another thing Sheila was talking about exposing, but you know what else? The Lord is exposing the church. Those folks, those religious leaders that claim to be all that they are, all it's about is the almighty dollar.
Money.
And what is he doing? Okay, these folks are bringing their congregations out. Then the leaders are dying.
Yep.
So the Lord is exposing
everybody,
as Sheila would say. And he's giving us a chance to really take a look at self. And ask ourselves, are we really doing what we're supposed to be? Are we for real in following the Lord?
Amen, amen. It slowed down. I mean, the 45 went to the 33, and it slowed down. And all of this is being slowed down. Nobody's going to be able to say, I didn't know, nobody told me. Oh, yes, we did. And Nobody in this world would ever thought that the whole world would be shut down like this. Nobody could have predicted this.
No.
And to understand in the year 2020, big and bad superpowers all over the world. The prime minister in Russia, he just got the COVID. The prime minister in England, he got the COVID. You got the vice president, pray he doesn't get the COVID. He walk around like he's Superman at the Mayo Clinic. Everybody else got a mask on but him, because he won't look somebody in the eye. But the mask don't cover your eye. I'm going to leave that alone. Talking about he don't have the COVID because he gets tested. What about everybody else?
Right.
Thank you.
Can't nobody else get a test?
Yeah, but you got one on regular. Okay.
I'm going to digress. I'm going to leave that alone. Going back to Jesus being lifted up, Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, and God is here. This is what I'm telling people. God is here. God is the answer to our sin-sick souls. God understands Satan. He understands. That's why he sent his son, that he would be the propitiation, that he would bear the sins that we couldn't bear. But we're so stiff-necked that we won't even look up to say, this is my salvation. We're so stuck on man and what man's going to do and how man. If everybody that said they knew God would humble themselves and pray
and turn from their wicked ways
and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways,
then
God would hear from heaven. He would forgive their sins and heal their land. But you can look at that. My parents used to call it the boob tube for 24 hours. On these cable networks, and ain't nobody talking about God.
Mm.
Nobody talking about humble yourself. Nobody's talking about God says in his word. Nobody's talking about we need a week of fasting and praying and humbling ourselves. Eventually, when it got so bad, and you know, those folks in the Israelites, they went back to God and they went back to Israel and said, this is bad. We're getting our butt kicked. God, you know, Moses prayed to God, get us out of this mess. And this is what God is saying. He said, it's getting bad. When are y'all all over this world going to turn to me?
When
are you going to turn to me? Humble yourself. Look up and say, God, uncle, I stink. I give up. Mm-hmm. I yield. What must I do to be saved?
Amen. Amen. And it's like you said, he's going after these these leaders that try to be so powerful. I mean, when I heard about the prime minister of Russia and then you had the prime minister of England, he's just exposing the weakness of man and how the pride of life is so deadly and how we have to look to God. But then he's also allowing love to be seen. Mm-hmm. So the more humble, the lowly of us, those are of us that aren't all high and mighty, are showing love and showing compassion. There's a little girl that sent $5 to the firefighters that she got from the Tooth Fairy. So you're seeing that love. That love, and that's what everybody's yearning for. Everybody's yearning for that love and that compassion and recognition, you know, of those that have paid the price, those that are making the sacrifice. And more, the people that are trying to be so powerful are actually looking weak.
Amen.
Because they can't handle that. You know, I was talking to somebody today how we're used to dealing with conflict because we know that the Lord has got our back. We know that, okay, if we mess up, we can go to him, ask for forgiveness, and if we make a wrong decision, he's going to provide us a way out, and we'll learn from it. It's not the end of the world. But then you look at those in power, they're not used to it. It's like they're used to somebody buying it off. They're always being right, always in power. So it's like, oh, my God, I'm going to freak out if it doesn't get fixed right away. Well, that's because you trust in a man. You're trusting in the Almighty Dollar instead of trusting in the Lord. If you trust in God, whatever the situation is, you know it's going to work out. It may not work out the way you want it, but it's going to work out the way God wants it. And then when you look back, you're like, oh, okay, that's what the Lord wants. But this is what happens when you have that pride of life and it's me. I can make the decision. I'm just in charge. But we don't have that kind of power. It's that false prophet, that false sense of security. And God is like just shutting everything down, and every single day is showing the weakness of man and giving us the opportunity to show love, to show compassion, to be there for others, to show the power of prayer so that people can have that opportunity to turn their lives around or to just continue to grow stronger in the Lord. I find that with me, I'm just drawing closer and closer to God because I just continue to see. You know, I never thought I would be able to physically work from home for 2 months where I'm used to going out doing this, that, and everything. But now I'm just so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that I continue to work. Pastor, he goes out every day, goes to work. God brings him back in. I know it's only because of God that he is still healthy, even though he has to go out there. But even if he isn't, I'm okay with that because I know that it's God's will, whatever God's will be, and he will just give us the strength, the peace to deal with whatever. So you have that hope. But you have people out here because they don't trust in God, have no hope. And I can't imagine what that would be like to be in the situation when you look and only be able to look at it with your human eye, with your fleshly eye, and not be able to look at it with your spirit and know that whatever it is, God's got it. It's not going to do me any good to worry about it because I can't control what's going on in this world. But I can trust God to handle it, and then I can allow him to use me to help others.
Amen, amen. And this is, and you know, we talked a couple of Thursdays ago, Dr. G, and what you were saying tonight about it's time for the church to be for real and wake up. And so we talked a couple of Thursdays ago about the church when God comes and halts in the air, when Jesus halts in the air, the church will be raptured, that we're in this period of grace. But when the church is raptured from this earth, then the tribulation period will come. But God wrote through John the Revelator in the book of Revelation about the seven churches of Revelation. And so what he's looking for during these great times of tribulation is those seven churches that he talks about in Revelation, second chapter of Revelation. And one of the churches, Dr. G, is the Church of Laodicea, which is the one that's lukewarm. It's like we just do what, you know, we go along with the flow. We don't stand for anything. We just go along with the flow. And I think it was the Church of Sardis that you know, they said they were alive, but you dead. It's like, and this was God through John talking to the seven churches. And so this is another period of time where the church of God, before it gets raptured, has to deal with what God has spoken, and this is in chapter 3, the church of Sardis of Revelation, is saying to the churches, what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So here's a period of time where things are slowed down. We're no longer in church entertaining each other and having program after program. But we've got to get serious about it to realize we say that we're alive, but we're really dead, to say that we're hot or cold, but we're lukewarm. And God says that if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out his mouth. In other words, the church is making God sick because we're not acting like the church. And so it's time time for the church, and people have a chance to go back and read, you know, chapter 2 and 3 about those seven churches of Revelation. It's time for the church to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, because once the church gets right, then God's coming back, and the church will be raptured, and that will end the period of grace. But the period of grace is still being extended until the church gets right.
That's right.
Once the church gets right, the word is preached around, the gospel is preached around, Jesus will come, be halted in the air, the church will be wrapped up, raptured, the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and those who remain, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, in the 51st verse, he said, those who remain will be caught up to meet and will be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. But God is slowing it down, saying, church, get right. We need to minister. We need to stop being the church of Sardis. We need to stop being the church of the Laodiceans that are lukewarm, the church of Sardis that says they're alive and they're dead. We need to be more like the church of Philadelphia that's faithful and true. And it's all in the word. And we just have to understand that God is fulfilling his prophecy. He's fulfilling his word. And the church needs to open their eyes and stop doing the crazy stuff that we're doing and stop being bad examples, because people are going to die and they're going to go to hell unsaved because the church is not demonstrating, just like the Old Testament. The Old Testament, God's people, they were the demonstration of God's people, how God's people were supposed to be. And they messed it up. And they got carried into Babylonian captivity, and they got brutalized, and they wandered in the wilderness. And so we're the New Testament church. We're the New Testament children of God, and we have to show that example. We have to stop being stumbling blocks. We have to be the church that's like a city that's set up on the hill that shines light in darkness, that people may see our good works, and we will point to God and glorify the God who is in heaven. But it's all in the Bible. Like we said, there's nothing new under the sun. We are in the dispensation of grace. God talks about the seven churches of Revelation, and we have to learn to be that representative of God, and not that murmuring, complaining all the time, not happy, and always wanting to be entertained with ourselves. And so this is what, let's go back to Acts. This is what Saul finally got around to, is understanding that this is not a joke. And what's happened is that people's lives are at stake, and people's souls are at stake. And so if we go back to Acts verse 9 and verse 20, he says, once, I'm reading the NIV, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, he responded to the call to the conversion, and he began with the same zeal that he had to persecute the church. He had the same zeal to start preaching the gospel. Dr. G.
Well, no, you're right. And we need to take Paul's example and do what we're supposed to do. You know, and you hit on everything that you were saying. Until the church gets right and until we as the leaders of the church get right, the people of God will never be right. I mean, I've heard so much from religious leaders, you know, why they're keeping the doors open. And the thing is, they always come back, well, you know, we believe in God. God can do this. God can do that. Yeah, but the Lord also says you render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And, you know, God, you don't tempt the Lord. You know,
we
got to learn how to obey him. You know, and we talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit is moving. The Spirit is definitely moving in all of what we're going through now. But we as a people have got to get to the point that we stop playing church. If we're going to serve him, like you said, with the Church of Laodicea, you know, I can't deal with cold churches or warm churches. I need to be on fire for the Lord. And whether we're on Zoom, blog talk, conference lines, mm-hmm. or whatever, it's still about praising God and uplifting him. And until we learn how to look up and stop, as Sheila said, looking at man, we will never be right.
Amen, Sheila G.
Amen. That's exactly what I was saying, is that God is the whole thing while we're going through this is so to get our focus off of ourselves, to get our focus off of man, to get our focus off of things, and to put our focus back on the Lord. We need to put our focus on God because he's the one that's going to give us the peace and the strength to get through this. And he's showing it to us plain as day across the world so that we can get refocused. And we as a church are here to be an instrument to help people to refocus, not to look down on our nose, not to just like get in our little buildings. You know, I've always said the church is beyond the building. That's the problem. We just want to get in become a social club and just be stuck in the building.
There you go.
Get out that building, get out your social clubs, spread the word, talk about it amongst, and draw others to Christ. So he kicked our butts out the building so that we can reach others and help others to get the focus off themselves and to focus on him.
Preach. Amen. Amen. That is powerful. And I ran my mouth enough tonight, so we're going to go to the phone line. But it's just good stuff to know that this stuff is in the Bible. It's not taken by surprise. God put it in his word. He gave John the Revelator. He gave John that about those seven churches. He told him, he has a ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, he said, behold, I come quickly. You know, he that has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And the Spirit is speaking to us through the word of God tonight and as always. And we just have to be obedient to God and get about being God, doing God's business. And we look at that in Acts 9, verse 20, where he says, and at once, you know, he started preaching the word of God. And I would ask the question tonight, from this pandemic, do you see it's time to get serious about God, or the church needs to be serious about God? What during this pandemic, and you can pick out an area that the Spirit is leading you, how we collectively and individually need to be serious about spreading the word of God. That's going to be the question tonight, is during this pandemic, what is God showing us, how we need to be serious about, you know, spreading the word of God. Let me go to the first caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
One of the things that dwell quite deeply with me, and I thank God that he led Pastor Kayson and us in the ministry of the nursing homes, And one thing that has been shown to America and even to the world, the importance of older people and older people. And many of them have been neglected during the years.
Amen.
Not only just in ministry, but also in taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so many things has been exposed as far as our elder people and how
mm-hmm.
they have been treated and taken care of and meeting their needs, and also America in general as far as poverty is concerned. I think sometime America had blinders on. I think it was a country thinking that we didn't have certain conditions
mm-hmm.
and other countries were worse off than we were, which some of them were. But sometimes we forgot that our own homes were bad too.
That's right.
Mm. This pandemic coming up is really revealing so many things about America that people did not know.
That's right.
But one thing I want to say, and I thank God, was the ministry at the nursing home, because we have lost so many people there. And if it had not been for people going out, spreading that word and reaching them, and like I said, sometimes they're forgotten people. They're put there. Some of them don't have people to see them. And sometimes they don't get that word of God. And a lot of them were the backbone of the church. They were the foundation
mm-hmm.
of the church, even of their families. And they worked and they served in the church. And they needed to be ministered to. They needed that hope.
Mm-hmm.
They needed us to reassure them and to be able to minister to them, to strengthen them, comfort them. And it meant a lot, reassure them that God had not forgotten them.
Mm.
And so yeah. so many that I pray, you know, with the nurses and the doctors, they're there, and some of them, you know, that can minister to them, because it's no guarantee that you're going to be able to have your family, or you're going to be able to have your church or
mm-hmm,
minister there
mm-hmm.
before you pay. It's no guarantee you're going to have these things there. And so you need that foundation. You need to be rooted. You need to have people to communicate with you and to talk to you, let you know that you're loved. And so I thank God that for the outreach ministry that we had with the nursing home, and I think about them.
Yeah.
And I wonder how they're doing, and
mm-hmm.
I even call one day, you know, to check and see, you know, if everybody was
mm-hmm.
okay. And I know, Pastor, that we left a word with them and a word of encouragement, and I thank God for that ministry. And, you know, maybe it won't be the end. I know it won't be the end, because God still
mm-hmm.
has people that he's going to reach and he's going to save. But it's just a beautiful ministry, and I thank God for it. And not only in the nursing home, but elders everywhere.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 6309. You're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Would you mind repeating the question, please?
Yes. During this pandemic, what is it, something that God is showing you that the church needs to be involved in or want to be involved in more?
Well, during this pandemic, God is just showing me and a lot of other ones that believe in him that he is in charge, he is in control, and that we shouldn't have to have nobody to stop and set us down to for us to recognize who God is and what he's done in all our lives and all over this world.
So amen.
I think that he has to do this because he gives us free will. He don't make
mm-hmm.
nobody do nothing, but he has to put our foot down. There's people down there in that White House, everybody doing something stupid, wrong, the wrong
Amen.
Way, just messing up everything for everybody. And
yep.
he just had to say, wait a minute, hold up.
Yep.
This is my world. I'm in charge of this. I'm in control.
That's
yeah,
right.
I came down here and gave my life for all of this. No, I ain't standing for for this. So I believe that he is showing people, the ones that need to be shown, who he is, and still giving them free time to come and be with him. But he's shown us so much. All the miracles in the Bible, he's shown us everything. Nobody could not believe in him, you know? And I know who he is. I know what he's done for me in my life, and I know what he's capable of, and all I want to do is serve him, wait on him, trust in him, believe in him, and get anybody else I can to believe the same thing, because he is truly trying to get this world right together, and so won't nobody be suffering, won't nobody be hungry, won't nobody be without jobs and all of that.
Amen.
He had to come in there, and he had to come in there and strut his stuff. And that's what he's doing. So I'm all for it. I believe in him. I trust in him. And I know that he wants everybody to be well. He wants everybody to be safe.
Amen.
He still has to do his work, just like his father had to send him down here to do what he did for us. So it's just starting all over. But I believe in him. I trust in him. And I have faith in him. And I know that he's going to take care of everything and everybody. And I also know that his will is going to be done.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 3343. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is what you call a pandemic. I don't even understand it, but just the idea, this world don't belong to us. It belongs to God.
That's
when
right.
When he wants to do something, when he feels like doing it, ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm enjoying it myself because I just enjoying it. But anyway, I'd like to see what he's doing to these nursing homes because I know they can be dirty. Their family can be dirty, and the nursing home can be dirty. And I'm hoping they can go into every one of these things and clean up every last one of them and throw them out.
Amen.
I just go so stoned. I had too many people that I've known that have been mistreated in nursing homes. They are a dangerous thing. And I know that God had seen them, and he had to clean all his nurse, the church, and all his other nasty things that he just got tired of it, and he wants to clean of it up. And he just cleaning up. I just love it. And let him keep on. I know when I started this world by myself as a kid coming on up until I got old enough to get this job, and I am enjoying every bit of it. I can't say enough, so I can't get to the laugh and say, God, work on this thing. Bring it on, whatever you want to bring on, bring it on.
Amen.
I'm with you every which of the way I can get there. I'm right on with God. Let him do what he wants to do. And I just hate to put these doggone masks on my face because I want to let God see my face in my mouth. It's hiding, but if that's what he wants to do, I just have to hide it.
Amen.
Big God, stick with me and let me stick with me. Let me work with him and I'll work with him.
Amen.
I'm so glad that he's doing everything. It gives me time to read my Bible and put that squawk box down, and that just gives me good. I need the rest. I'm so thankful. Thank God that he's doing his job. So that pandemic,
amen.
Whatever y'all call it, y'all can have it.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. The last four digits, 5310. 5310, you're there.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How to be serious about serving God. I am come to the realization that already serving him, but what he's doing now, he's using me for more than just what I was doing. I find myself talking to my coworkers. We sit and we talk about how good God is and what he's doing in our lives. And that we're paying more attention to what he wants and not what we want. And I find myself praying all the time. I was telling Anthony, He was talking about, you, don't you see me? I said, yes, I see you. I said, I pray for you when you go out, and I pray for you coming in. Mm-hmm. I told him I pray the blood of Jesus all around you, your daddy, and Janice, and the hedge of protection. Because right now, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to pray to him. That's all. That's what he wants. And like Pop said, he's going to do what he's going to do regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And it is to the point where the world has come to the point where it is, but now it's not anymore, like Saul, and the scales are falling off. So now we can see exactly what God wants us to see. And he wants us to be the ones who pray for change and do that which what his will be done regardless. And I just thank the Lord for what he has showed me and what he's teaching me daily.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
What I've seen in the midst of all of this that's going on, I mean, it definitely shows that for God, there are no, we all, basically, in a sense, we all are the same under the eyes of God. I think if you look throughout how the world has been, there have been different classifications. You got the rich, you got the poor, you got the white, you got the black, you got the different religions. But notice what's going on. It's touching everybody. This is not a black thing. This is not a white thing. This is not a, you know, social status thing. This is actually impacting and touching everybody. And man may have everybody segregated out, but I think in the eyes of God, you know, we're all one and the same. And this is something, like you said, it's touching everybody. It's touching the world, regardless of your religious beliefs, your financial status, where you work at, who you related to, anything. This is something that's actually touching everybody, and no one is immune from it. So in the eyes of God, you know, we're all the same. It's about God, and you know, he's definitely getting people's attention. One of the other things I've definitely noticed, and I've spoken on it before, is that it's also exposing weak Christians. You know, God saying, you know, you come to me every Sunday, you pray, you worship me, you read scripture, you sing songs to me. But now, when the doors of the church may be closed, you know, man talks about, you know, social distance, and a lot of people, and Christians specifically, have been exercising spiritual distance, and they haven't turned to God. It's like, well, if you pray to me and you know all these stories in the Bible and I've done this before, why is it now that when I'm showing you what I can do, we turn away from God? I think Sister Kayson touched on that. We're not praying to God. We're not talking to God. We're not talking about the goodness of the Lord and how he's blessed us. We're glued into the TV. We're looking at social media. We're sitting on the edge of our seats wondering when we can go back out in the world. And God is like, what do I have to do to show you guys that, you know, that I'm the omnipotent being, that it is me and there is no one higher than me. And I think as Christians, we really need to do a self-check, because it's really exposing some Christians. I mean, a lot of Christians are so still caught up in the world. And like you said, God stopped the world. You know, you got to take this thing very seriously and get right with the Lord, because if he chooses to, he could end it all at any moment, any day. We don't know the day nor the hour, but I think Christians specifically are losing sight of what's going on, and it's kind of one of those things like, don't let this get by you. Don't let this go over your head and we get through it and then you're still the same person as you were beforehand. But, you know, I hate to say it, but some of the Christians I've spoken to, people I know that have been in church a long time, yes, they've never seen this before, whatever, but it's like, their faith is rattled, you know, and it's sad, because it's like, it's easy to talk about the goodness of God when everything is great and you get up
morning
and everything is good. But it's like, but this right here is what we prepare for. You know, just because the doors of the church are closed doesn't mean you still can't have church. You know
what
I'm saying? Doesn't mean you can't call in. Doesn't mean you can't have a little own service inside your home or wherever it is you is, in your car, if you're parked somewhere,
that's
if you're
right
out on the job or wherever. But I think people have lost the true nature of what it means to be a Christian in the midst of all of this, where we should be the ones on the front lines praying and calling people and having faith and trying to get people closer to God. So it's like, now the people that are watching us saying, well, you know what, I haven't heard Brother Brandon talk about God in a while, or praying, or Brandon seems rattled, but, you know, before all of this, he was talking about God, had all the religious quotes in his desk, in his cubicle, but now I don't hear Brandon talk about this God that's so good and so powerful, and he's got all his faith in him. And a lot of Christians, again, have turned their backs on God in the midst of this. And it's definitely sad. I mean, I hate to see it, but God is weeding out who's serious about his work and who's serious about their calling for this walk that we've dedicated our lives to. So as Christians, we got to do better. We got to get better, because now is not the time to take this lightly. We need to definitely get serious with God, and we need to get serious with ourselves, because if we're truly Christians and we're truly committed to that, we need to be the most vocal people at this juncture in time, what's going on in basically affecting this world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We can go to the next caller. Last four digits, 5904. 5904, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Just sitting here, was thinking about what everybody tried to, my call, you know, to say something. A couple of days I've been walking when it was really nice outside, and one of the things that I noticed is that the sky is so pretty and it's so blue. And yesterday I saw two bumblebees, and I said, oh, my God. I said, look at them. I said, God is really, really, really bringing everything back to the way it was before man started destroying it with his pesticides and cutting down the trees, destroying the habitats, ruining nature as a whole. And I said, this is God's world.
Amen.
And I said, man always tried to destroy stuff. And one of the things my mother taught us, that man will destroy himself and the world too. And man does that every day. And then when they're talking about making people go back to the factories to work in the slaughterhouses for the meats and stuff, I'm not saying, you know, he rather kill people to get that money than to try to use that money to provide the medical care that these people are asking for. And I'm just saying, God, I said, but you know what? When it's all said and done, you're going to have the final say-so.
That's
and
right.
Everything that they're trying to do, it will not prosper, because this is your world. And if this is your world, that means that you can dictate and do whatever you want. And
that's
man
right.
can't come behind it and change not a thing. So I'm just enjoying it. I'm not bored like some people I've heard. Some people I've heard has been locked up in their houses ever since the first, you know, back in March. And I said, y'all better get outside, enjoy what God is doing outside and see the world. I said, because he has stopped everything. I said, the pollution, you know, it's, it's just a beautiful day. And I said, the only one who did this was God. And if man tried to take hold of the credit, he lying. So I said, shame the devil, tell the truth. A man can't do that sometimes. So I'm just thankful, you know.
Amen.
And I just think that one of the main things that I feel that I could do as a Christian and work on it is just tell people that you got to remember, God is the person who allowed us to be in his world. He blessed us to come into this world. And when he blessed us to come into this world, he wants us to understand what he has for us. But like a parent, he has to chastise us every now and then. Sometimes we don't do the right things, but he loves us with unconditional love. So we need to show him how much we love him by giving him that same love back.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller, 2409. 2409, you're on air.
Hello. Can you hear me? I think I did it right. I pressed unmute.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just as far as the COVID-19 is concerned, you know, I'm just really trying to get people really in a better mental health place. A lot of people illy prepared. Even though I prepared fairly, I just prepared a little better than others, so I'm not really in a hardship like a lot of other my colleagues and other friends and things like that. But sometimes people get so hung up, like, on the money part of it. Yes, I may be in a tight phase right now, but I know that I'm not bad off than others, and I can, you know, bounce back because I made sure I put things in place so that I can bounce back and continue to do my things and all of that. I know I'm not worried about my tithes because I know clearly I'm going to pay that. You know, I'm just going to pay it in a lump sum or however I decide that I'm going to pay it in increments so I can still keep that up and, you know, give God what God has that I'm supposed to do for him and also still serve my family at the same time. But with the COVID-19 crisis, it really is an eye-opener. It really changed my focus on not being on the outside so much and worrying about things like that, but putting my focus back into my family and to my household.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of mm-hmm. things with caring for others, but not getting the same thing back. So God just told me, look, I didn't ask you to overextend yourself the way that you're doing it. That's what you choosing to do. So if you want to help somebody, but you don't have to go above and beyond for other people, but yet neglect your own family.
Right.
So it just really just let me open up my eyes of spending more time with my family. My dad is getting old.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a diabetic, mm-hmm. you know, making sure that he's cared for, you know, he's eating healthy, that he has a face mask. It's like, thank God I'm just such a germaphobe because I had so much bleach and little other things to keep things in place where other people are really struggling. You know, I had like 150 face masks that I was giving some of my neighbors because I live in an elderly community. So I'm trying to, you know, I gave a couple out to some other of my elderly colleagues that work with me in childcare. I gave a couple out to them because I was like, you guys don't keep some of this stuff, but they always do. You got a whole mm-hmm. rock of things. I'm such a, they call me a hoarder, but now I don't see them talking about that hoarding because I'm the one who really technically have more of the supplies and gloves and things like that that I'm loaning out to other people so they can stay afloat. But it's just really just having a really big eye-opener for me about my own family. Charity starts at home first, and I give so much of it to so many other people and rarely give it at home. So I said it just really just let me focus more on my family, me, my children, my immediate sisters and brothers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I love my outside of my family, my aunts and uncles and things like that, but I did a lot of outside things instead of focusing on maybe having an intimate dinner with my family. We don't even sit around
mm-hmm.
and eat anymore
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in a different room, everybody
mm-hmm.
somewhere
mm-hmm.
doing something else. And I told my brother when I spoke to my siblings, you know, I've raised a lot of my siblings, so a lot of them not really used to me being affectionate like that because I didn't grow up having affection and love and hugs and kisses, but I had parents who cared for me and provided for me. So I thought that was the norm, but what my children told
mm-hmm.
me, they want a little bit more of me saying I love you, me giving out more hugs. So now I know better, I can do better. So I told my siblings and everything that we need to start getting together more and, you know, showing up for
mm-hmm.
each other, you know, just coming around a little more. And it's just that's just how it really is treating me. And God opened my eyes up to that because I was really sick early on in the month, and I thought I had COVID-19 because I'm such a hypochondriac. I was, like, taking on everything that comes around. I'm thinking I got it, but I had pneumonia. And I have asthma, so they told me because I had asthma, there was no way I could survive COVID-19, so that means I didn't have it. So I technically had pneumonia. But that big scare right there, I literally could not do anything. I kept trying to get myself up and go to church and do all these other things, but my body kept going back. So God was like, look, sit it down now, period.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to just give it a break. You can't do nothing. I really
mm-hmm.
wanted to get up and, you know, get into church, get my Jesus on, but I couldn't really. My body just wasn't. I'm not 25 anymore, and it just was showing me that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just what COVID-19 has just given me a big eye opener to love more, continue to treat people good, but also give a little bit more charity at home with my own family.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. I got the next call, the last 4 digits 7971. 7971, you're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'll say it and I'll say it again. God has the whole world in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the master of all of it. He has allowed all this to show us Christians our position, what we should be doing, how we should be doing it. It was without anybody telling you, because that's how serious this disease is. God has gotten everybody's attention. Just go out in the
mm-hmm.
street, everybody's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know whether it's going to hit them or not. They're trying to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, excuse me. Oh, thank you. Would I, can I help you? Mm-hmm. Hey, that's God. He is the master. He can turn all those demons into angels.
Mm-hmm.
And he has started to the White House, to the half house. He has no particular person how he's going to do it. They're so confused. Why? Because they don't know who we know. And then
Amen.
My Father, who art in heaven, he has gotten our attention. And I know because the people that know the Lord, you see it, they send your card, they call you. You got this, you got that. You're making sure. These are things that God put us on this earth to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it right now. You see it right now. Prayer is the key to everything in our life. And everybody is saying, praise the Lord. God, girl, let me pray for you. You know, he has changed us, Christians. He's putting he's making us better at serving our people. Because
Amen.
We can get complacent.
Amen.
Amen.
And take it for granted that we're doing what he wants us to do. But not all the time. Not all the time. And it's all not always about money. Because I called my daughter immediately and I told her, I said, you remember when I used to tell you if hard times fell on me, I would be a survivor? I said, now it's that time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now it's that time. I said, if you need some water, you got water.
Mm.
Boil it.
Yep.
Put it in the fridge.
Yep.
I told a whole lot of things, but I can't say it on here, but you can survive with it.
That's right.
You can survive with it. And go and try to help somebody else. Call somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody
mm-hmm.
that needs something. And you always keep your cupboard filled up. Pastor, she knows what a cupboard is.
Yeah.
You want to go to the grocery store, go to the house.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It, James said, come on in, Miss Fly. It's plenty now. You ain't got to go to the store. Go in there and get it.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, we aren't worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the love of God in our hearts. We know what we got to do. And we know God's going to fix it. He's going to take care of us.
Yep.
He is. He is. And you see it every day. And those that are just so mean and evil, they're the ones that are worried and suffering.
Yep.
They're the ones that were, and we as Christians just continue to do what we do, stand by each other, love our children, keep them lifted up, and, hey, we've seen it over and over and over and over again. He brings us through.
Mm.
He has this world in his hand, and he is in full control.
That's right.
I'm telling you, Sunday, Jewel said, where's the communion? I had it laid out so just like it is at church. She missed it. I said, I served last time. You want to serve this time. We had a good time.
Amen.
In the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we called other people to join us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Come on. It's other people out here that want the same thing but can't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hug it all up for yourself. Call them to join in with your church and let them know what your church is doing. That's what it's all about. We know this bad disease is out of here. Be cautious, but then use good common sense.
Amen.
Amen.
And as Christians, we're going to prevail. God said it, and I believe it. You all have a blessed week and be safe.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Lucille G, that's going to do it for all our callers.
Mm-hmm.
You have any last words and close us out in prayer, please?
Well, I just thank the Lord for all the comments that we received tonight. It's such a blessing. And just like you said, we just need to keep our focus on the Lord and be led by him because each one of us has our own relationship with him. And during this time, he's speaking to each one of us separately as to what it is that he wants us to do to continue to show love through us, show his love through us to others.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for allowing us to have another Bible study to expound on your word, Lord, to know that we can put our trust and our faith in you, Lord, that you will bring us through whatever we need to. But we need to show love to others and show compassion to others, Lord. Help us to help you to spread your word, Lord. We thank you for all your many blessings. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll hear from you. See you again on next Thursday night. Good night, Matt.
Good night.